It's time for Fed Talk, the live show for feds in the know. From federal agencies to Capitol Hill, the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth bring in experts from across the federal community to bring you inside the issues. Fed Talk is meant to provide general information about legal issues. However, the views expressed in this program are not intended to provide legal counseling. Listeners are cautioned not to rely upon any statements made in resolving legal issues they may face, but instead to consult with their own attorney about specific situations. Attorneys are not engaged in providing legal services while appearing on the program and are not responsible in any manner for the consequences that may stem directly or indirectly from reliance on any statement made during this program.
Good morning and welcome to Fed Talk. I'm Jenny Mattingly, and today we're here to discuss the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund and the annual Ride and Run to Remember event, which is coming up very shortly in October. And it's a great event. It's designed to honor the contribution and sacrifice that law enforcement officers make. And I'm joined in the studio this morning by Craig Floyd, who's here with us from the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund. And in a few minutes, we will also have two sponsors of the event, the Ride and Run event, calling in to join us. And we'll talk to them in a minute. But before we get started, just a quick reminder that Fed Talk is brought to you by GEICO, where 15 minutes can save you 15% on car insurance. For more information on GEICO, go to geico.com. Craig, thank you for joining us today.
Great to be back, Jenny. Thank you.
It's always fun to have you on the show because you guys are doing such great work and you always have a lot going on. There's always a lot of new things that you're working on, updates on both the museum, other events that you're working on, and was hoping that we could talk a little bit about what you're working on, where it stands with the museum, things that are going on with the memorial, because you really do a lot of great things to recognize the contribution of law enforcement officers and also remember the sacrifice that so many of them have made, unfortunately, over the years.
Well, when our organization was founded in 1984 by Congressman Mario Biaggi from New York City, a former New York City police legend himself, we had one purpose in mind, and that was to build a National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial, a monument that would honor all law enforcement officers, but particularly those who've been killed in the line of duty. And of course, that memorial was dedicated in 1991. Today, we have 20,267 names on that memorial. More than 1,000 of them are federal agents who've made the ultimate sacrifice. Now we're working on building a National Law Enforcement Museum that'll be built right across the street. And for those that may not have listened in the past, it's in a place called Judiciary Square, 400 block of E Street, Northwest Washington. You get off on the Judiciary Square subway stop on the Red Line if you take the subway, and you actually come right up into the memorial ground space. This museum that we're building, hopefully open in just about 2 to 3 years from now.
It's getting close now.
We are getting close, finally. It's been a long road. We started this endeavor back in the year 2000 when Congress authorized the museum to be built, directed our organization to do the job, raise the money, design it, do all the things you need to do to build a national museum here in our nation's capital. And we're well on our way. We've raised about $53 million.
That's incredible.
We're putting together the final touches on our financing plan, which involves the sale of some D.C. revenue bonds. And we hope to get the major construction work started by the end of this year.
Well, that's exciting because that's just in a couple months.
Well, exactly. And again, it's been something we've been working toward for a long, long time. So the memorial, the museum, very important parts of who we are as an organization. But then you throw in a third pillar, and that is promoting officer safety and wellness. This is a real focus of our organization, will always be a major focus and priority. The fact of the matter is over the last 10 years, we've averaged 150 officer fatalities each and every year. The good news, however, is last year we had 100 fatalities, the lowest number since 1944. So we are making progress in the right direction.
And that's where that focus on safety really becomes a priority, is people, people understanding both the work that these officers do, and we're talking state, local, and federal here, and also some of the challenges they face and other issues of safety, both for the officers and for people in the community who are dealing with law enforcement officers.
Without question, there's so much more we can do to make it safer for our officers who are out there literally risking their lives each and every day. They're better trained, better equipped than ever before. Better emergency medical care has certainly made a difference in saving lives when an officer is shot or maybe struck by a vehicle. We now can save them in many of those cases that used to result in fatality. fatalities.
Well, and I think that's an interesting point. When you and I were talking about the museum before we went on the air, one of the fabulous things that it will be able to do is as a both a repository for stories that have come before, but also a place where discussions can be held. You can keep going on these critical issues that need to be talked about both currently and in the future.
Think about what just happened in Ferguson, Missouri. Mm-hmm. A lot of questions. Did the officer act properly? What happened? Did the officer have the right equipment, the proper training? Why do officers shoot and kill people instead of maybe just wound them? Or isn't there a better way to end a situation like that? These are legitimate questions, but we need to provide a place where people can go for the answers and better understanding of officers, who they are, what they do, why they do it, and what their role is in our society. And that's why we're building a National Law Enforcement Museum, so we can have those discussions, mm-hmm. A center for law enforcement here in this nation where people can go, the private citizenry, and learn more about law enforcement and learn how they can be a part of the public safety equation. Public safety is a partnership. It involves law enforcement, certainly, but it also involves the cooperation and partnership of the citizens that they serve.
Well, and I think that's a really important point, and it's a place to bring people together, because unless we're all having that dialogue, somebody gets left out and you don't hear all the sides. So it's really exciting what you're working on, and I'm excited to see as the museum goes forward and we get closer. One of the things that I did want to pivot to that you also work on is this Ride and Run to Remember event, and that's coming up in October. And we've got a couple of sponsors for the event that are going to join us to talk about why they think it's important. But before we go there, I'd like to tell the listeners a little bit about the event, the history of it, and why you started it.
Now, I appreciate that opportunity because this event really took shape about 4 years ago. This is our fourth annual Ride and Run to Remember, coming up on October 11th and 12th, Saturday and Sunday, just less than a month away. And the idea is simple, that only one out of five Americans has any contact with a law enforcement professional. Most of those contacts are traffic stops. So if you think about it, fewer than 10% of the American people have any positive interaction with law enforcement officers. They don't understand that the cop on the beat is your neighbor, you know, who mows the grass on the weekends just like you and I, who goes to his kids' school events and so forth. We don't think of officers as people. So we thought, let's create an event that will bring law enforcement professionals together with the citizens in the community. And so that's what the Ride and Run to Remember is all about. The equation is simple. October 11th, which is a Saturday, we're going to have a 5K road race starting and ending at the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial, the 400 block of E Street, Northwest Washington. It'll be a beautiful run. You'll go by some of the major monuments. It's a great tour of Washington. And it's only a 5K, 3.1 miles. So pretty much anybody that runs can do it. And we also have a walking component this year for the first time. So we'll have a slightly shorter route for those that want to walk.
And there's no excuse not to get out there then.
Well, exactly. For kids, this is great. You know, if you're not in a great running shape, but you can certainly walk a couple miles and do it for a great cause. Then on Sunday, October 12th, we're going to go out to National Harbor. That's a fun place if people haven't ever been. I mean, now they've added this Ferris wheel, but they've got all these great shops and restaurants.
Good for families.
It really is a place where you can really enjoy the day. Hopefully it'll be a beautiful day like today and enjoy National Harbor. But in the meanwhile, we're going to have several hundred people that'll be riding their bicycles. Some 55 miles for those of us that are a little more up for the challenge, and 30 miles for those that maybe would like a little tamer course. But either a 55 or 30-mile bike ride. And again, you're raising money for a good cause. The funds that are raised from these events, of course, support the Memorial Fund. And we encourage people to do peer-to-peer fundraising, which basically means you go to your friends, your family, your colleagues, and ask them to sponsor you for a small amount of money, whatever they can afford. And then those dollars add up. Last year, we had over 2,000 people that donated and about 800 participants. So hopefully the word will spread about who we are, what we are, and people will want to support it.
And that's a great way to do it, this peer-to-peer. It's unique because it's much more of a grassroots effort rather than just relying on a couple big sponsors, because as we talked about before, the whole community aspect, this idea of bringing people in and getting them to know law enforcement and law enforcement officers. And so you spread the word one by one, and it really does that. We're going to stop and take a quick break right now, but when we come back, we'll talk to two sponsors, John Adler from FLIOA and Terry Gaynor from Securitas. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around the mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is Geico anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that Geico isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how Geico actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, Geico saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like Geico. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. Geico.
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com, then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact Geico today to request your special federal savings.
Welcome back to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We've been discussing the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund and also their annual Ride and Run to Remember event, which is coming up in about 3 weeks now, I guess, 3.5 weeks. So it's amazing how quick time flies. And I've got Craig Floyd with me here in the studio, but I've also got a couple of folks who are joining us on the phone, John Adler from the Federal Law Enforcement Officers Association and Terry Gaynor from Securitas. John, Terry, are you both with us?
I sure am.
I'm here, Jenny.
Great. Thank you for joining us today. We're talking about some really important events coming up here and also the Memorial Fund. And thank you for joining us because you guys are both strong supporters in your organizations of both the Memorial Fund and this Ride and Run to Remember event. And I was hoping you could tell us a little bit from your perspective about why the Ride and Run to Remember event is so important. And John, I know FLIOA has been a very strong supporter of the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund from the beginning. So it's something that you've continued to support and now have joined in on supporting this Ride and Run event.
Well, it's an important event. I mean, Craig is certainly the best at speaking both passionately and informative in terms of what the event is about and why it's important. And, you know, I guess the add-on aspect is it obviously promotes wellness as well, something that I'm personally neglecting and will probably have to opt for a virtual walking. But I mean, it's a tremendous event. You know, it started off, there's a risk involved in starting off any event. And I was there with Craig and the Memorial Board when we first started it, understanding that it would take a lot of effort and a challenge to promote the event and to get people to come in and understand the importance and participate. And we've grown. And our participation has grown. And along the lines of growing participation, I'm going to throw this out there. You know, we've been inundated with all this ice bucket challenge stuff, which I don't think I necessarily understand other than the fact that it's probably something that's going to make me feel cold, like the polar bear plunge. Well, I'd like to go ahead and issue a Ride and Run to Remember challenge to all your listeners, Jenny. And what that means is, if you can't participate either in person or virtually, then do me a favor and go up to somebody in uniform, go up to somebody in law enforcement, and simply thank them for their service. Thank them for keeping you safe. Otherwise, I challenge all of your listeners to come on out, as Craig described it, participate in the Ride and Run to Remember. It's a great event. It's a great challenge. And you won't freeze like an ice bucket.
Well, that's a good excuse right there. But, John, you beat me to it. I was going to say we have a team in our law office at Shaw Bransford, and we're doing it. And I was going to say the same thing and challenge folks to join us out there. If we can be running and supporting the event, there's no reason that others can as well. So I appreciate the dueling challenges here.
Absolutely. The more the better, obviously. And as we always say, there's strength in numbers. There's honor in numbers. It's a great event. So everyone come on out and knock wood. Mother Nature will cooperate. It'll be a great couple of days.
Absolutely. And one of the things we haven't said is where people can go to, if they're going to take you up on your challenge, where they can go. And Craig, why don't you give us the website real quick?
Yeah, the website, it's a mouthful, but if you can remember it, it's rideandruntoremember.org. And no punctuation, it's just spelled out, ride, A-N-D, toremember.org. And this is a great way to support law enforcement, as John says, a great way to show your support for law enforcement officers if you're a private citizen. and a great way for our officers to get out there and again, be part of the community and honor those fallen colleagues that so many of you know and were close to. This is a great way to pay respects to them and their families. And Jenny, one thing we didn't cover before, John alluded to it, is the virtual participation component. So anyone listening that may live outside of the D.C. area or might not be in town on October 11th and 12th, you can simply do the ride or the run at a time and place that is convenient to you. Anywhere in the country, you set the distance, you set the time and place, and then you can still go out and get your friends, colleagues, and family members to support you.
That's a great idea because a lot of folks aren't here in this area or can't get here. And so, you know, I when you said virtual, I was wondering, too, do I get a little online thing and I can watch my bicycle?
Not quite that easy, but almost. And again, people will get the same prizes. They'll get the T-shirts and all the things that go with it if you showed up in person. So it's a great way to support it, even if you're not here.
That's great. And Terry, why don't you take a moment and tell us a little bit about Securitas and how you got involved with the Ride and Run to Remember?
Well, I was honored to join this group. I've known Craig and John for a long time. Craig and has been a tireless supporter of law enforcement. I just left federal government and 47 years of law enforcement this past May, joined with Securitas, and one of the reasons is they are such a strong supporter of law enforcement. And I know earlier Craig mentioned about the partnership. I think what this type of event does is strengthen the community police partnership, which is one of the things Securitas does all over the United States, but especially here on the East Coast, where we're heavily involved in a public-private partnership, leveraging each other's strengths. And Securitas, headed by the President Terrence McGrath here, has wanted to support the things that Craig is doing on behalf of the law enforcement officers and their families. And this is a way to show our support. It's a great opportunity for all of us to come together and remember those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice.
And I think that's a great point, is that there are so many, not just individuals, but also companies who really understand the importance of law enforcement, who understand the value to communities, to, you know, everything from business to individual communities, and are out there showing their support and looking for ways to show that support. And the Ride and Run is an easy way to do that.
Jenny, that's a great point. I mean, we really are all in this together to have a safe community. And whether it's the business or landlords or tenants and policemen, the whole nature of community policing is for us to understand each other. And another thing I thought Craig mentioned was communication. The more we do these type of events, the better the opportunity for the public to understand a police officer and the police officer to understand the public. So as both John and Craig and you're talking about, coming out in a social setting, getting to know each other, really alleviates the type of problems that could develop when something bad does happen.
Absolutely. And Craig, I think you had a
Points. Here we got one of our great friends, Terry Gaynor, on the phone. And I just wanted people that may not know the name as well as certainly I and so many others do. Terry headed up the Illinois State Police. That's when I first got to know him. He was very involved in the dedication of the National Memorial. Then he came to D.C. and was the top assistant chief under Chuck Ramsey for many years. Then went up and headed up the Capitol Police as their chief, and then became the Senate Sergeant at Arms. So here's a guy that has been in law enforcement his whole life. His family's been in law enforcement. He has sons in law enforcement today. And he raised a very good point that and I emphasized it before, that we've got to get more of a partnership going between the law enforcement professionals and the citizens. Terry understands that as well as anyone. And I think we're doing a much better job. I mean, community policing has really helped, getting the officers out into the community, talking to the citizens that they serve, building trust, knowing those citizens need to know that those officers are there for them if they should ever need help. And they're out there serving and protecting. And when that happens, when you trust your officers, when you have open dialogue, you have a safe community. Without it, you don't. And this is a very simple part of the equation. I talked to a police chief not too long ago who told me he was involved in a public debate recently. The question is, who bears more responsibility for public safety, the officer or the citizens. And he, as police chief in this particular community, took the position that it's the citizens that actually bear a greater responsibility and can play a greater role in making their community safe. But they got to work in partnership with the law enforcement officers.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really interesting point, because this is a, when you say community, that's everybody. It's, you know, as Terry said, it's businesses, it's, you know, who need to stay safe, who need a safe environment to work. It's individuals who live there, and it's the law enforcement officer, because certainly, too, their safety is an issue as well. And that part of that comes in with having community relations and people understanding what they're out there doing and what their mission is. Now, John, I know with the Federal Law Enforcement Officers Association, certainly this is very near and dear to your heart, because you have folks who are out in the community and who are dealing with some very difficult situations, and several certainly who have made the ultimate sacrifice, especially over the last several years.
That's correct, Jenny. And unfortunately, as much as we cherish our sacred memorial wall, that wall will continue to grow. And we will have our ceremonies each year during National Police Week and have our candlelight vigil, and we will honor all our fallen heroes. But, you know, circling back to what Terry said and what Craig just hit on as well in terms of the community relations, that's extremely important. Craig and I attended a meeting at the White House yesterday, and one of the questions put to us was what could be done to sort of bridge that knowledge gap between law enforcement and the community. And I think first, you know, Craig spoke earlier about the museum, and a museum is critical to accomplishing that objective, because it allows the average person to step in the shoes of a law enforcement person or officer and experience safely what we do and what we have to deal with, and in many instances make spontaneous decisions and critical decisions that may have life or death outcomes. And I think it's important. It helps to educate the public, maybe elevate the appreciation for the risks law enforcement faces. And as far as this event goes, I mean, this is an important event, and it's good that we have companies like Securitas as well that does this sort of community outreach that allows the public, that allows the community to meet with us and realize, hey, we're not monsters. You know, in spite of the news media always portraying us as folks who murder unarmed men, that isn't correct. We deal with situations where we encounter large, dangerous people, whether they have a visible weapon or not, whether their fists are their weapons or there's a long arm involved. And having this sort of outreach sort of breaks this bad fiction perpetrated by certain biased components within the news media and allows the community to see and actually interact with us and say, hey, we're the same as they are. You know, we have the same blood, the same, you know, hopes and desires. We want to go home safe. We're family oriented. And it's important that we break this bad fiction.
And I think that's a good point. And what, you know, the family-oriented piece plays a part of this, too, because certainly some of what the Memorial Fund, from my perspective, does, and as a I throw that out there, I grew up in a law enforcement family. My father was a DEA agent for his entire career. So I lived it from the family perspective, is it's also nice to have that family community component, because you do go through things where your loved one is put in a dangerous situation, where they're going through things that, you know, as you said, people only ever see on TV or certain portrayed in the media, but you see it from the other side as family. So part of that community, it seems that this event does, and that what the museum may do and what some of the memorial does, is gives family also a place to connect and have that community.
So. Without question. And, you know, I know we're coming up on a break, Jenny, and I don't want to let our guests go without saying a big thank you to both John and Fleoa, his organization, and Terry and Securitas. I will note, by the way, that Securitas, a private security firm, came to us early on in the museum campaign and made a very generous donation. So they're one of our top corporate partners. Now with Terry there, they're going to even be stronger partners, I'm sure. But think about it. Post 9/11, law enforcement and the private security community have really come together to try to protect people in the workplace and people throughout this nation. So, you know, not only is it a partnership between the citizens and law enforcement, it's a partnership between private security and law enforcement as well. So kudos to Terry and Securitas, and thank you both for your great support of the Ride and Run to Remember.
And I think
we're happy to be with you. It's really a force multiplier, and it's great to be a part of this, great to be with a company like Securitas. And I issue a challenge to all the other companies out there, big and small, mom and pop, popcorn things. Come on out and support this run and ride and the museum we're trying to build.
And that's a great message. I think I'd like to end there on that challenge. We've had a couple challenges issued, so hopefully our listeners and all of their families and friends and colleagues will take you both up on your challenges. And John, Terry, I really appreciate having you here with us and talking about this important event.
Thank you, Jenny, for taking the time. Bless you.
Thank you,
Dad, for your service.
Terry.
Thank you. And we are going to stop here for our mid-show break. When we return, we'll talk to a participant in the event and continue talking about law enforcement and why this is such an important cause to support. We'll continue our discussion after this break and a word from our sponsor. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
GEICO's famous for saving people money on car insurance. And now, if you're a federal employee, you could be saving even more. In fact, you may already qualify for a special federal discount from GEICO. If you're a federal employee, or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, FLIOA, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you could be saving hundreds of dollars. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings. GEICO got its start back in 1936, specifically to serve federal employees. Today, we're still making it easy for federal employees to save money on car insurance. If you're a federal employee, you may qualify for a special federal employee discount. Or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you may also qualify. See how much you could be saving. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings.
If you're a federal law enforcement officer, then you know to do your job, you tap inside sources. To have a voice on policy and legislation, you join FLIOA. And when you want federal law enforcement officer news and up-to-date federal court decisions, you read FedAgent.com. If you aren't reading FedAgent.com, subscribe today. It's free. Don't let this source pass you by. I'm John Adler, president of the Federal Law Enforcement Officers Association, and I approve this message.
Welcome back to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We've been talking about the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund and one of their upcoming events, the Ride and Run to Remember, which is coming up October 11th and 12th. So very shortly here, and we just had a great conversation with some of the sponsors of the event from the Federal Law Enforcement Officers Association and Securitas, talking about why they supported this event. And Craig, as we've been talking about, community is such a big part of this. And one of the things we mentioned were, the peer-to-peer fundraising, some of the other ways that people get involved. And we're very fortunate to have with us today on the phone one of the participants from this event, Terry Hunley. And Terry, are you here with us on the phone?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. And
sure.
And from what I understand, you have been a very active participant in the race. And talk a little bit about why you've joined to support this race and what you're working on right now.
Well, I joined the race in support of my late husband, Virginia State Trooper Johnny Bowman. His end of watch was August 19th, 1984. And I also had a very close family friend from Binghamton, New York, a patrolman, who was also, his end of watch was August 3rd, 1995. But one of my biggest points is I'm writing in honor of my daughter, who just recently graduated from the Ashburn Law Enforcement Academy.
That's great.
And has joined Manassas City Police Department, and Craig Floyd was her keynote speaker and presented her with her certificate on behalf of her father.
That's a really great tie here, and a great reason to be riding is a family affair here in terms of that your daughter has taken up this service to her community.
Absolutely.
And let me say also, Terry has become a dear friend, as has her daughter Nikki, and it was a great honor. I met Terry last year at our Ride and Run to Remember at the finish line of our 55-mile bike ride out at National Harbor. And, I got to know her and certainly was familiar with her story. Johnny Bowman, a Virginia State Trooper, murdered as part of his job. And unfortunately, they still haven't apprehended his killer. It's one of those few law enforcement fatalities that remains unsolved. But Terry and I had a good talk that day, and then I learned that Nikki, her daughter, was now going to be a Manassas City police officer, and they were kind enough to get me involved in the graduation ceremony. I spoke there, and one of the proudest moments of my professional career was presenting Nikki with that certificate and allowing her to become a Manassas City police professional, following in her father's footsteps. What a great story.
It really is a good story, and it's really inspiring to hear that somebody is continuing to go on and take on this duty. So, Terry, congratulations to you on behalf of your daughter there. So
thank
that's
you
a great
very
story.
Much.
And now, Terry, I know one of the things that Craig and I had been speaking about with this event is that it really does. This is an event to raise money. It is an event to help the Law Enforcement Officers Memorial and the museum and the work that they're doing to really promote these issues. And I know that you have been helping them out in their fundraising efforts.
Well, Jenny, I have to say that I'm a very competitive person. And to get into the fundraising, I monitor the website to see who's ahead of me and who's behind me. So it gives me a little motivation to get out into the community. Facebook has been an excellent source for getting word out to friends and family. Email is another way I've done it. But I've also gone to local bike shops, word of mouth, posting the fundraiser flyer. And I've also shared the videos and stuff from the Ride and Run to Remember website. And it's got me a lot of donations. And I must say that I work for a great company, and I have super good coworkers who donate last year and this year to keep me up in the top 10.
That's excellent. Congratulations on your success with that. And it's an inspiring way to show that people really do support. If you go out and ask people to support a good cause, they really do support that cause. And it sounds like it's individuals and, possibly some local businesses, and a really good way to get out into the community.
Absolutely.
And raise issues. And, one of the things it sounds like, are you doing the run or just the bike ride?
I'm just doing the bike ride.
And the 55-mile one?
I put something out there for a little more encouragement this year on the fundraising, and I signed up for the 30, but I promised everyone that donated if I reached my goal of $5,000, I would ride the 55-miler.
Hey, good for you. It's good to have a challenge and a motivation. I still think 30 sounds like quite a long distance to go, but that's really, really a good way. And now, are you working with any, do you do any, for folks that are listening and want to be involved in the fundraising and getting up there, have you been doing any work with businesses to do fundraisers, or has been this primarily just individual ask?
I've primarily just done the individual act, but I've seen more information out there on the fundraising and the ideas that I got off the website. So next year is going to be a much better year for me, and I will be number one fundraiser next year. I promise.
I like that enthusiasm there. Craig, I know you've probably got some thoughts, too, on a little bit of the fundraising and how you all help folks achieve that goal.
Terry is a very determined woman, and I have no doubt that she'll achieve all of her goals. And we're so proud that she's been so successful in her fundraising this year for us. The way it works is very simple. You create a website, basically, that people can go and send donations. It's very simple. If you go to our rideandruntoremember.org website, that's rideandruntoremember, no punctuation, .org, and it walks you through it. You basically set up your own personal page, and then you send out emails, or as Terry said, go on Facebook, go on Twitter, however you communicate through social media with your universe, and encourage them to go to your personal page and make a donation, or perhaps participate themselves. It's a great way to spread the word, and it makes it very easy. But using social media is such a great tool for these peer-to-peer fundraising opportunities. I will add that there are a number of other people like Terry that have inspirational stories. Martha Wood is one that comes to mind. Martha's been a longtime friend and supporter, a volunteer of the organization, the Memorial Fund, and her husband, Barry Wood, was a Baltimore City police officer who was tragically killed in the line of duty in a helicopter crash many years ago. But Martha has formed a team and is out there trying to compete with Terry to be one of our top fundraisers. And she's reached out to her Baltimore friends, the officers, her friends, as well as some of her fellow survivors, to support her and to participate. There's a guy named Drew Houck. He's from Ellensburg, Washington Police Department, on the other side of the country, and he's going to be flying in to participate in honor of a couple of fallen colleagues of his. Drew was actually almost killed himself in an attack by a criminal not too long ago. His throat was cut, and he was near death, but he did survive, and this year he'll be riding, certainly to honor his profession and be out there with the citizens, but especially honoring Sergeant Nelson Ng, who died in the line of duty back in 2008, and another colleague, Chief Alva Tucker, who was also killed in the line of duty. So Drew has his own inspiration for and motivation for doing the Ride and Run to Remember, but coming all the way from Washington State to participate. And as we mentioned earlier, for those that maybe can't quite make that trip from Washington State or the West Coast to D.C., October 11th and 12th, they can participate virtually, and they can do that ride or that run back home in a place that's convenient and a time that's convenient to them.
And I think that's a really, you know, a really good point about what Terry's doing and the story she brings and the stories that Craig just mentioned, is that law enforcement officers do face some very dangerous situations and are really do put themselves out there in situations that the rest of us don't necessarily face on a day-to-day basis. And so it's a great way to both remember them, but to also bring awareness to some of the situations, and not just the law enforcement officers themselves, but, you know, the families, and also the commitment then that these families really have to that community and to making sure that the support is there. And so, Terry, I think it's really excellent what you are doing and the participation level that you've put into this.
Thank you very much. And I do want to encourage people that are listening to come out and ride. And if they can't ride, certainly try to make a donation to one of the participants' pages or one of the team pages. But it's a great event. You meet new friends. You get to enjoy the camaraderie of the law enforcement families. So it's not too late to get involved. And I will put a challenge out there for next year to all of them.
That's great. We're rolling in the challenges. So I hope people take everybody up on this, because it really is a great event here. And as you said, it sounds like a wonderful way to get out and meet other people. It's really, you know, personally, it's a good way to get out there and talk to other folks. And Terry, I want to thank you very much for joining us today and for taking the time to talk about your support for the Ride and Run to Remember.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
All right.
Good to talk to you, Terry. Thank you. And all my best to you and Nikki. And I look forward to seeing you out there in a couple weeks from now.
Same here, Craig. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And we're going to stop here for our final break of the show. You are listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around a mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is Geico anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that Geico isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how Geico actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, Geico saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like Geico. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. Geico.
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com, then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact Geico today to request your special federal savings.
Welcome back to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're entering the last segment of our show, and we've been talking about the Ride and Run to Remember, and we've been fortunate to have both some sponsor and individual participants join us, so thank you to all of them. It's really inspiring to hear why they support both law enforcement generally and also the Ride and Run to Remember. And one of the things that, Craig, you mentioned when we were talking about the folks who are supporting and raising money for the event, is that you've got somebody coming from Ellensburg, Washington, which, I mean, that's 3,000 miles away. So you're getting support from all over the country for this event and people really coming in for it.
No, it's really exciting for me, especially, and all of us that work at the Memorial Fund. When you get out there at the 5K on Saturday, October 11th, or at the bike ride out at National Harbor on October 12th, and you see, you know, people from all parts of the country that have taken the time to come all and expense to fly in or drive. Last year, there was a great story. A friend of mine who's a chief out in Michigan, I run into him at the bike ride. And I say, you know, he tells me he just got in. And I said, what do you mean? You know, he said, well, last night I was at a football game, high school football game in Michigan. And he had to be there until about 9 o'clock p.m. on this is Friday night now. He gets in his car. He drives some, I don't know, 12, 13 hours, whatever it takes. And he got at the National Harbor site for the bike ride on Saturday morning, about a half an hour to spare. Got on his bike and rode 55 miles. Then the next day, I see him out at the 5K road race. And I'm amazed that he's still here and that now he's going to run a 3.1-mile race. And I said, when are you going home? He says, well, right after the race, I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to drive home. But, I mean, this is the kind of commitment that we have from our law enforcement friends and citizen supporters that just want to be there. You heard the story of Terry Hundley. I mean, her husband, Johnny Bowman, murdered as a police officer, a Virginia State Trooper, 30 years ago. And she still believes so strongly in this memorial and honoring her husband's memory that she's going to be out there with us. I mean, these are just great stories. It's motivating. It's inspirational. You're going to meet these people when you come out. I encourage especially our citizens as well as law enforcement professionals to join us. It'll be an inspirational moment that you will never forget.
And I think that's a really great point, is talking about that you really do get to bring it home personally. You know, it's not, we talked a little bit about, you know, and John mentioned this, that you see things on the media, you see it in TV, because certainly law enforcement is probably one of the most popular subjects for TV shows. It really is. And that's certainly a different vision sometimes of what the realities of law enforcement are. And so this is a way to see it in real life and really get a personal connection to some of these folks, because I do think, you know, you look at all those top shows, and I know that the Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund has been promoted with USA Channel and some of those shows. Graceland has been one that's promoted them. But it's always interesting to see the Hollywood version versus what folks really go through in their daily lives, and that they are real people, too, out there in their communities. And so it's nice to have that tie.
That's a great point, and a couple comments on what you just said. Number one, we came out with a great statistic to prove how many people are going to be interested in visiting our National Law Enforcement Museum when it's open, and that is that the average American citizen watches 1 year's worth of their life cop shows on TV.
Really?
So we're sitting there in front of our television for at least a year out of our life watching cop shows on TV. That's how intrigued people are about law enforcement. And unfortunately, as you say, too often it's sensationalized. It's not accurate. They're using a lot more firepower and force than is really the case. Great statistic, by the way, because this museum, when it's up and running, we're going to debunk a lot of these myths. The average cop will go their entire career without ever firing their weapon in the line of duty. The Department of Justice came out with a great study. They found that of the 44 million contacts that officers have with the public, and that includes calls for help, you know, traffic stops, you name it, 44 million contacts with the public, they use or threaten the use of force less than 2% of the time. So when we watch cop shows on TV or at the movie theater, we're seeing a lot of gunplay, a lot of shootouts with criminals and such. The average cop will never fire their weapon in the line of duty. They'll spend a lot of time on the range, you know, training, but they'll never go out on the streets and actually have to ever fire their weapon. And most people don't understand that. So think about that. Our officers are keeping the peace 98% of the time without ever having to use force of any kind at all, not just lethal force, any kind of force.
And that's really what you want to hear. And the things that people should know, unfortunately, it doesn't make for good TV, which is why they have the sensationalized.
Thank you.
I always laugh because growing up with a father who was law enforcement, I always said he ruined TV and movies for me because we'd watch a TV show and he'd say, well, that's not how you hold a gun. You can't do that. You couldn't tap something like this. No law enforcement officer would do that. You actually need a warrant. And it was this litany of that's not how it's done in real life. And I'd always say, I know that, but, you know, that wouldn't make for interesting TV.
And so. To your point, I mean, think about this cop critique theater, we're calling it, in our museum. It's in a exhibit gallery called Real to Real, R-E-E-L to R-E-A-L.
Interesting.
And what we're going to do is have real cops on video critique some of the scenes from cop shows and movies. And they'll explain that car chase in the French Connection movie through the streets of New York.
Yep.
A cop would not really do that. You know, you don't drive 100 miles an hour through the streets of New York City and expect people to survive that chase. But, you know, these are the kinds of educational moments that we'll have in the museum coupled with the entertaining moments. And I think that's important, that this museum will be very entertaining, but at the same time, it'll be very educational and eye-opening as well.
And that's really, I think, the good part about a museum is it gives you the historical perspective, but it also teaches you something. And yeah. That's where this part, and especially through the media, because certainly, as you said, 1 year of our lives. I'm now thinking about that because I'm sure I'm in that boat as well.
Think and about so, all the other things we do in our life that are probably taking up even more time.
Right. But, it's frightening a little bit.
It is frightening.
So, but you know, I think it's good to put that real world perspective on it. And you also talked about one of the things that I really think is a great thing that you are doing is this repository of information about law enforcement officers, law enforcement issues. And you have one of the things that you put out every year, the Memorial Fund puts out, is the fatality statistics. And that's a really sobering statistic, different from what we've been talking about with the media, of how many law enforcement officers do give their lives in the line of duty. And you mentioned that had gone down in the last year. But nobody else is keeping this information, really, maybe in the same way that there seems to be a need for a repository here and a place for discussion about these issues.
We were very challenged in the early days of building our National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial of, you know, we decided to put the names of the fallen officers on that memorial. Think about it. This is 2 years after the Vietnam Memorial was dedicated. So now they had set the tone for future memorials. You got to put the names of the fallen on your memorial to have that powerful impact on mm-hmm. the visitors, right? So we decided to do that. But then we realized, well, wait a minute. Where does that information exist? You know, where can we go to get the names of the fallen officers? And we realized that the FBI had kept it back to 1961 moving forward. But all the years prior to that, there was nobody that had that information. So we made a decision that we were going to be the organization that would assemble that information, that we would collect it, and that we would be able to disseminate it and make it available to the public. So we took on that task. The first year we opened that memorial, there were 12,500 names on it. Today, there are over 20,000 names to give you a sense of how many officers are being killed in the line of duty. About half the new names we add to the memorial every year are officers killed earlier in our nation's history but had been forgotten about. It was only through our research efforts internally, as well as volunteers that are assisting us around the country now, that we've been able to find these older deaths. All of that information will be available in this National Law Enforcement Museum. And it's certainly available on the internet right now through our website, which is lawmemorial.org, lawmemorial.org, to go to our website. And by the way, if you forget about the rideandruntoremember.org website to register, you can go to our generic website, lawmemorial.org. And of course, there'll be a click on button there where you can register, and it'll take you right to the Ride and Run to Remember page. But, you know, on there also, you'll be able to find all the statistics related to law enforcement fatalities. We have a section on our website called Recently Fallen, and that basically tells you what the up-to-date number is for this year and who were the officers that have already died in the line of duty this year. To date, I'll give you that number, it's 86 officers across this country. It's federal, state, local, tribal, and territorial law enforcement professionals, all sworn, who made the ultimate sacrifice. And you can go to our website and you can find those pictures and those stories on there today. The bad news is that's up slightly from last year. That's up about 18% on top of where we were at this point last year. But the good news is that that's still far below what it's been for the last couple of decades. You go back to the 1970s, we were averaging 231 officers killed in the line of duty each and every year. And now that number's dropped down. Last year, I mentioned to 100, and over the last 10 years, it's averaged about 150. So we're moving in the right direction, but we still have a lot of work to do because the only good news is zero deaths.
Absolutely.
And we can come a lot closer to that number if we set our minds to it.
And do you have a sense from those numbers, are they going down? We talked a little bit about officer safety. Is it because of technological advances? You know, do they have better gear? Do we have better medical advances? Or is it crime rates? Does that have play a part in it? Are those things you look at when you're looking at the officer safety numbers and officer fatality numbers?
We're looking at a multiple of factors. You have to look at better emergency medical care, number one. We talked about that earlier, the fact that when an officer is shot or is struck by a vehicle or involved in a major auto crash, as so often happens, there is better emergency medical care for that officer, and there's a better chance today, certainly, that they're going to survive those serious injuries. But when you look at all the other things that go into it, you understand why maybe the numbers have gone down so dramatically. Officers wearing bullet-resistant vests. Those vests, there's been documentation on this, have saved more than 3,100 law enforcement lives over the last three decades.
That's a great statistic.
Thousands of officers whose names would be on that memorial if not for their bullet-resistant vests. So that's been huge, as probably as important as anything that's happened. Less lethal weaponry has made it easier for officers to keep a safe distance from that resisting felon who sometimes would grab their weapon in the old days and shoot and kill the officer with their own weapon. You look at better training. We didn't even have SWAT teams, 30, 40 years ago, all right? Now, when there's a volatile situation or certainly the likelihood that it could occur, instead of that beat officer going in, by himself or herself to deal with that situation, now they bring in SWAT teams that are highly trained, highly equipped to deal with these potentially deadly situations. So tactical training has improved tremendously, as well as the equipment that the officers are using.
And that's an interesting side point that I'm sure goes into some of these conversations you all are having when you talk about educating folks, is that people need to realize that the training is there and how important that piece is in both officer safety and community relations and allowing an officer to do their job. And I think that's a piece that people forget, is that these folks are very highly trained, and that's a huge component of this.
Well, when we're talking about our museum, one of the most popular exhibits, I think, that we'll have in most popular experiences will be our Shoot, Don't Shoot Use of Force Judgment Simulator. It's a training device that officers use. The SEALs use it. I mean, all the military uses it. It basically allows you to deal with a video enactment of a potential situation that you're going to have to face as an officer on the street. I did it several times, and it's very eye-opening. You see, for instance, in this one enactment, a woman comes screaming out of this house. You've just arrived on the scene. You're the officer, and it's a domestic violence call. Woman comes screaming at you. He's got a knife. He's got a knife. And then following her is a man with a knife. He's now coming at the officer. You've got to decide what to do.
Right.
Do you tase him? Do you use lethal force? Do you seek cover? I mean, what do you do? You have a split second to react. And this is going to be a great opportunity for citizens to understand how difficult those life or death decisions are and why that training that officers receive is so important.
That's fascinating. And it sounds like a great interactive, because you engage people. It really is a good way to do that. And I do want to stop there on that point, because you've given us some teasers of the museum. I'm actually really excited to see the museum when it opens.
You and me both.
I bet. But I do want to thank you for taking the time to come on today and talk about all of these issues and to tell us a little bit about what you're working on. Why don't you go ahead one last time and give everybody both websites for the Memorial Fund and for the event?
Yeah, for the Memorial Fund, you can go to lawmemorial.org, and you can certainly go to our website for the Ride and Run to Remember through the lawmemorial.org site, or you can go right to register or learn more about the Ride and Run to Remember by typing in Ride and Run to Remember, no punctuation, .org. That's rideandruntoremember.org, and it'll give you all the information you need.
Great. Well, thank you, Craig, for joining us, and that's all the time we have today. Fed Talk is brought to you by the Federal Employment Law Firm of Shaw, Bransford & Roth. Have a great weekend.